Blog Talk Radio.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone. It's another Wednesday, which means time for
Main Street Universe.
And we are joined this evening by author and intuitive counselor, integrated development expert, and other things, Miss Jessie Ann Nichols-George, including that is talk show host. And we'll be talking to her when we come back right after this. Join us in our circle.
Archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
An opportunity came and then left. I just couldn't find it. I was in the JI and it said just anyway. We outsmarted ourselves once again here on Main Street Universe. And
because it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
That's right. Yeah, it is 5 o'clock somewhere.
On the West Coast, actually.
And actually, yeah. Well, it's 8:06 here, so we got even more excuse.
5:06 Pacific time.
That's right. So even though the rest of America has caught up, all the way out west. Not sure as far as Alaska, though, but they'll get there. But anyway, our guest this evening is Jessie Ann Nichols George, and amongst other things, she is a talk show host on Activating Compassion. Oh, Jenny's actually has one of those machines that you press the button and it does the audience noise.
Yeah,
and clap.
Yeah, I do clap because I do that at a world reggae party. It's like, hey, everybody clap.
So, Jessie has been on tour. She's author of 4 books, Activating Compassion, and its companion workbook, as well as You, Me, Life, Dreams, and its companion workbook. She also does workshops and integrated development work, intuitive consulting work, and is currently on tour. And since she is currently on tour, she is stopped by here live in the studios here at Cafe Fairfax. Hooray. And without further ado, we just say, welcome, Jessie, and how is the tour going?
Thank you, Daniel. It's so amazing to be here, because I remember 2 years ago, I was sitting here with both you and Janice when I did my first tour, and that was just a book signing tour.
Yes.
So here I am back here again 2 years later, and it's amazing. It's amazing to be on tour and going around the country. I've already been through, gosh, all the way from the West Coast, because I started on the near Santa Barbara. In Solvang, a little town called Solvang, and then I went up to Seattle, and then I was went over from there to Galesburg, Illinois, did events out there, and then I started hitting the East Coast here with going through events in Rhode Island and Massachusetts and Maryland and Connecticut and Pennsylvania, and Atlantic City, and now I'm here in D.C. I have an event coming up this weekend, and still have a few cities to hit.
What will be the nature of this weekend's event, and or workshop, whichever.
This weekend is a full-day event, and this is something that I have going on almost every weekend. I have an event wherever I am. So this weekend it's here in the D.C., Maryland area. Next weekend I'm going to be out in Atlanta, Georgia, and then it will be San Antonio, Texas after that.
Okay.
So each of those cities will have an event like this going on. And what we do is we work from about 9 to 6, 9 in the morning to about 6 in the evening,
okay.
And I work out in nature on those events, so it's really cool. So depending on the area I have and the season kind of dictates some of the activities that we do. But what I do is we'll spend the whole day in nature, and nature becomes the teacher because it's such an amazing parallel.
What you were going to do outside.
Well, it's a very, you know, it's very cool, Janice, because people can show up. And what they'll do is they pre-register for the events, and they show up and with whatever is going on for them in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like we stop and go, okay, we're going to deal with money or we're going to deal with relationships or one specific thing. It's a very open format. They show up, and we look at it, and we do different things along the way, from meditations and visualizations. And we work on the individual self and understanding the core patterns underlying what's happening in their life. And then we move into their interactions with other people throughout the day. And then we also do a healing for the planet or the earth or the area that we're in.
Right.
So.
And so that's interesting in a way because that's like saying almost instead of having a pre-programmed message for the event, what it is almost like if somebody came to get a reading, it's you let them ask a question or you let them bring a personal thing to it.
Exactly, Daniel. So it's very customized. You could attend the same event in the same area at the same place and have a totally different experience every time because people are bringing different things to the table. And you're right. It's whatever comes up in the moment. So my work's a little blend of the intuitive with the practical. So it incorporates all those different fields that I work in, the 50-plus areas. And then we just kind of go from there. But what's really cool is usually people come out of this and they go, oh my gosh, I never thought about things that way. And it doesn't matter whether they're just starting on their path or whether they've been on their path for a long time. You know, sometimes people come just to focus on getting some harmony or balance or just doing a little personal restoration for the day. And that's really fun, you know, to do that. But when we make those breakthroughs, the doors open up. So just to give you an example, this one's a one-day event, but like last weekend was tied into Samhain.
Yeah.
And I do 8 events a year that are tied into the cycles of the year. And those are full weekend as opposed to just one day.
Right.
Events done under the same kind of format. And we just go really, really deep. So I had this person that was on my event in the summer solstice. And that was out in Santa Cruz, California at that time. And when we did it, she spent 2 days with me, did a private session with me during that weekend. And something she had been waiting 2 years to have cleared up in her life was cleared up within 2 months of that event.
Mm. Nice.
So the shifts, because we shift so much internally, of course, bring a whole new dimension. It's like, you know, it's like unclogging the drain
in
a way. You know, all of a sudden, everything's working.
It's interesting when that happens.
And I've been feeling like that. And even Darren had mentioned that on one day on his Sunday show where we feel like, or at least I personally do, and he personally did, that for me in particular, things were going financially horrible for a while. I was like down to my last $9. But then just, you know, the door started to open. My leg finally started healing. And now I just feel like I'm just sort of, you know, vibrating on a higher level, and that it's just things are working, and things are working beautifully with the band again after a you know, little break in the action there. So, and we finally picked up our female singer I've been looking for so long, or either a girl or a guy with a higher voice, but either way, someone that could sing high. But it's a little easier to find in a girl, you know. So she's a soprano. She's been trained in opera. And hello, Nikki Nicole, if you're out there listening. And actually, she'll be here tomorrow night practicing because we have band night tomorrow. And all the rowdies and pirates and all in Dragon's Head will be here. So we're getting closer. We're going to start releasing a couple songs at a time. It will eventually combine it into the album, but we'll still put them on like iTunes or TuneCore. And then we'll eventually release the CD. That way, we're just still showing action. Because it all took longer than we thought because... I'm talking about me now, but I'm just saying. So things, back to the point, they really, like, the ball seems to be rolling again, you know, the snowball downhill kind of thing, feeling like we've gotten over that little hump, and now, you know, money's flowing back, the band's doing well, everything, and this network's growing. So we're growing. In fact, this week, I think, next week, Jim and Ashley Cash start their once-a-month show with us. And Mary Phelan, I think, the following week. So she's doing a Saturday show. So well, I'll make those announcements later. But back to you, Jesse. You're an author of, well, I say an author of 4 books. You do the companion workbook as well as the book that the companion is about on both cases, on You, Me, Life, Dreams, and on Activating Compassion. And I guess we'll start a little bit with the first book. Describe Activating Compassion a little bit.
Okay, so Activating Compassion is one of those books that I started off with because I was like, okay, where am I going to focus my message?
Right.
And it came to me because the person I was dating at the time said, you know, you really got to get information down in a book. You just have like this wealth of information. You've got to get it down and you've got to start, you know, putting it out there where people can access it more. And I said, yeah, you know, I don't think writing's my thing.
Yeah.
Really, I don't think that's my thing. But anyways, came around and Activating Compassion was created because I couldn't figure out my mission, actually. I couldn't figure out what my message was originally. And so the way I approached it was, what was my pet peeve? And my pet peeve was judgment. People assuming that they knew about me or other people without actually knowing them. and making all kinds of assumptions and, you know, judgment calls that, that really weren't true a lot of times. And so I figured that's my thing. That's my thing I kind of dealt with all of my life. And, you know, likewise, I had to get past my own judgments along the way too. So I said, okay, great. What's the, you know, the counterbalance to that?
Right.
And that would be compassion. And that's actually how I came into my message. And then I was like, oh, my gosh, that's gigantic for a topic, you know, like what I'm supposed to tell people, you know, to meditate 15 hours a day. It's like, I don't have time for that. How could I tell somebody else to do that?
Right.
So being that it's such a large topic, I said, okay, then my goal now is to bring it into everyday life. Because going back a few years ago when I lived in Arizona and I had to go through a lot of surgery and different things like that, prior to the surgery, when they actually got down to figuring out what was going on with me, which was multiple things, that I walk into this one doctor for a consultation and he goes, well, there's no medical reason for you to be alive. You should have been dead by now, years ago.
Wow.
And we traced it back, and basically it was, you know, 11 years prior. I should have been dead. And I'm like, oh, well, that's really good to know. He goes, but I can't operate on you, so just keep my card on you in case they haul you into the emergency ward, and then they can call me, and I can do something. So, you know, it twists your head around in a bizarre way where you kind of go, now what do I do with that piece, right? So, you know, coming around to it, that time, what I decided was, you know, I didn't have money to go tour the world and knock off a bucket list or something like that. I just simply said, how do I make every day amazing? So when I got ready to do my message for activating compassion and bring compassion out as the message, it was really an aspect of how do we bring that into everyday life, where people aren't having to take hours and hours and hours to do something to make it work into their life.
Right. And I think that, because that's a conversation, and then I'll get to you, Janice, right away. It was a conversation I was in recently, and I think with our friends Jim and Ashley, actually I've been hanging out with them a little bit recently.
I have to meet them.
And they, like I said, they are starting a show soon, once a month show. And I think it was myself, Reverend Scott and them. And we were talking a little bit about certain aspects of mysticism and how some aspects of it in the old days were almost a little bit escapist, like going out and being part of some thing or some group or, you know, running around naked in the woods. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, I'm just saying, but there's a little bit of almost escapism. But there's like,
I love that part.
But you know what I mean, though. It's almost like, okay, now we're in this land and then we come back. And I think more modern mystical thinkers are a little bit more likely just to say, all right, what do I do with this in the everyday, you know, at the bus stop and, you know, here and in the basement and at work and whatever. I'm not saying that the people before didn't incorporate both, but for some people, especially in some of the old, like, pagan festival days, it was very much a party atmosphere, like you're going to escapism at this party and then come back. Where now that's like...
Some of them are still that
way. Well, some of them might still be that way, yeah. But it's a little more like you're visiting something, but you're still bringing it back with you. And I'm just curious about incorporating things into your daily life. Like some people say, there's certain things really busy people don't have time for. But then there are certain ones that they do and they just don't think to do either. I mean, they might have 10 minutes to meditate during the day or a half hour to work out that they think they don't have. But I just thought that point was interesting because I've recently been in conversations of the fantasy of mysticism and the dress up or down and the realities of placing it, you know, these metaphysical, might be a better word, concepts. And, of course, you're also talking about things not always metaphysical. You're combining practical and earthy and prosaic things as well, like just maybe certain affirmative things, certain ways to maybe a little bit of, you know, NRP, as they call it, or NLP, I'm sorry. So I think that's always an interesting point, is
bringing these practices into the everyday and at work, or when you're up on the extension ladder putting up a light, or now I'm complaining about my day. Anyway, and Janice?
So how do you incorporate compassion on a daily basis? And since you have done all four books, do you see judgment being less now, or do you see more judgment? Because I feel that a lot of the social media kind of have this judgmental air about them. I'm not going to say which ones, but and it's not all of them, but, you know, there's quite a bit of judgment in social media.
It's true. There's a lot of judgment out there, period, Janice.
Yes.
I think it is interesting that you bring that up, because on one hand, yes, absolutely, I notice it more because I'm paying more attention to things. I'm paying more attention to my own actions, so I notice it more as opposed to accepting, you know, that judgment in the everyday life. With it, and it's interesting that Daniel brought up what he brought up, because there are a lot of people that just practice, and they like that rush of going to something and then stepping out of it. And, you know, it's kind of like going to church, but you only, you know.
But you leave it at church.
But you leave it at church.
Yeah,
you know, you just do it 1 hour a week, and man, I'm done, you know. And really, I think for me, it's now become a way of life. So it's like anything that we do day in, day out. And I find the more I incorporate it, actually, there's so much more that just opens up in my day. There's so many more blessings that come my way. There's those sort of pieces. But in blending the two of those together, for me, I feel like part of it, and I talk about it in my books, is about bringing things in that you're doing every day, a little bit every day, and small pieces. But then doing some of the bigger chunks, like taking a full weekend every month, or, you know, taking a day every week or a half a day every week, so you can really immerse yourself in it and feel like you've got a step. Okay. And so that's really, I think, a big all of it there. And so, but as far as little techniques, you know, it's small stuff. It's opening the door for somebody. It's smiling at people. And matter of fact, it was funny. I was out towards the Mount Vernon area today.
Okay.
And I was doing a little video for, you know, for the month, which I do every month. And those go up on my website, and people can check those out. And so I haven't gotten put up yet, though, because I just got it filmed today. But so I'm out there, and I'm walking down this trail out there with my cat, Orly, because she always comes with me.
Oh, yes.
And so I'm smiling at people, and it was like they had no clue what to do with that here. Now, most places in the country, I go around, people I smile, and people smile back. But, of course, here, you know, it just takes time where they have to get that a few times around before they start to get used to it. But it was very funny.
I'm accused of that sometimes.
And out of, like, probably 10 people that we passed, one of them actually cracked a smile back at me.
I was going to ask that, because I find this area that they don't want to smile at people. Because I used to live in Baltimore, and when I first moved there, I was thinking it was the same thing. But as I started to really live in Baltimore, people smile a lot more than they do here. And I don't know if it's because of, you know, this is an area of transplants, or because we have so much government here and people think that if you smile, it's a sign of weakness, and I want you to talk about that. or you know, people are so busy here, supposedly, that they think that it's going to take a lot to just a smile.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's amazing how something so simple as a smile is
can make you have an opinion of an area.
can make you have an opinion, but it's a good example, because it does ring in true. I mean, just how rigid we've gotten in some areas. Now, you know, we could say it's just a big city, but it's not always just the big cities. And it's amazing.
No, Fairfax is not a big city.
It's amazing how foreign it is, but you get used to it, and our culture has shifted and changed. And this kind of concerns me a little bit when we start looking at it, because the changes have been so gradual in our culture and our society. But we've gotten to a point, it's like, don't look at the car next to you. Don't smile at the person walking down the street. Oh, my gosh, because if you do that, you must be part of a certain gang, or, you know, you're going to trigger something, or that's a symbol for that. And the next thing you know, it's like, what can I do? I can't go out of my house. You know, this is,
right.
to me, heavy control stuff that we don't
heavy
want in our
stuff.
Society.
It, for some, it's fear. For some, it's just they're so into their own crap in their own heads, and they, and like Janice said, they feel like they're so busy, and maybe they are busy, but I'm just saying, but they feel like they're so busy that a kind of a culture around here has developed of what, step down from my being busy to acknowledge you? I mean, come on.
Well,
you're supposed,
well, yeah.
you're supposed to just understand,
you know,
that I'm a little busy over here, and just stop smiling at me, because I'm not, you know, there's some of that, I think. I think it's a combination of things. I think it's some of it could be unfamiliarity, stress. It's, we were talking about before, it's a fast-paced place to live. I would say more D.C. maybe than Fairfax, but it's a little bit of bleed over there in the attitude. In D.C., it's. I mean, if you are a country person, and you drive through D.C. and dealing with their parking laws, it'll feel oppressive. You know what I mean? You're like, what the hell? I'm not doing it. I mean, people
I'm
just...
I'm not a country person at all.
No, but it still feels oppressive.
It
but I mean,
feels quite oppressive.
But I'm just saying, if you're not familiar with that environment, and downtown D.C. is a pretty nice area. It's not as dangerous and all that like it used to be, but, I mean, there's always still danger, but my point being, anywhere, but I don't think people should walk around feeling like that either. So some of it is a little bit of fear. People just, you go into that environment and it instantly feels fast-paced. There's no other way to say, almost like a New York or something, but a little different, a little smaller scale and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, you're driving down the road and people, if you park in the wrong spot, 10 people will yell at you. I mean, with blood-curdling anger. You know what I mean?
But Jesse came
even
to
if it has no effect on you whatsoever, but they will, I mean, on them whatsoever, but they're like, hey, you can't park there! Hey! Good people don't park there! Yeah.
When Jesse came to the house, and after, you know, we were like, okay, where did you park? And it was like, it's like, oh, great to see you. Boom, where did you park? And then like, and then like, I parked in a non-number, and like, yeah, we, you know, David and I almost did a happy dance because, you know, I don't know so much about here, but where I live at, yes, 10 people will come out of their houses to say that she can't park here.
Yeah,
very.
Even if it has no effect on them.
Yeah.
They just want to share the information because it's happened to them before.
Yes.
10 people yelling.
Yes. So.
And then they go, hey, you know, no, I'm not from here. Well, you can't park here.
Oh, you can't park here. So.
Go back to the farm. You know, or whatever.
And, you know, I forgot to call her and say, don't do a number parking. And I was so glad when she didn't, but because, you know, I didn't want people knocking on my door. Hey, she is not supposed to park at my space, even if it's not their space. But they'll come out and say, this is my space.
But then, you know,
so,
you take the train, it's pretty friendly. There's a bunch of people kind of just chilling out on the train. I've always had a good experience.
Well, you mean the subway?
Yeah.
It is friendlier
or,
than the street, actually.
It is. There's like a taking the bus. I mean, there's always, you know, there's always somebody strange on, you know, on the bus, as they say. But
I do want to say one thing. With me substituting and I get to see Fairfax youth, it's I see it as a problem that's starting with the first grade on up, about how they're being judgmental and how they don't smile. And these are children, you know. You know, they always say that children, you know, when you're a child, you have the most happiest time ever. And I don't really see that. And I think that's a problem.
Do you think that has anything to do with that they're used to being locked in front of, like, a video game or something like that? And that's a
well,
experience
in school,
like
you can't really do video games.
No, but
that's
what they're accustomed to when they go...
Well, it's becoming very decentralized, and I know that you probably have a few words to say about that. But when I was growing up, you couldn't wait to go home so you can go out to play.
Right.
So now you come home, and it is. It's video games, it's texting, it's doing a lot of thumb and finger work and not doing any leg and
Oh, yeah, we used to
arm
wander
leg
around,
work, so
like, escape on our bikes and just go wherever, you know what I mean? It was kind of like the thing to get away.
Yes.
Now they're with their parents all day.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to be with their parents all day when I was a kid.
So even when you're adult, sometimes you don't want to be with your parents.
Well, it's really interesting because, you know, in going around these different places and we probably just need to get a little more all up close and personal like you do on the subway and the metro systems, and then you can't help but be a little bit happier in some ways.
Yeah, you're not driving.
You're watching.
The fun part is when you pass the areas that are backed up.
You know, when you're in your car, you're not quite at punching distance. When you're on the subway, you are. So you
gotta be nicer. You have to be careful. So.
but you can make fun of the cars that are backed up there.
That's right.
And on the light rail in Baltimore, because you can see cars go by and
you
or not go by.
Watching them not go by.
Yeah.
But you know, it's funny because I did go into a gas station while I was here. And I just had a really nice smile, and I went in and I smiled at the guy, and I'm like, you know, here's my money, and here's the pump I'm on. And it was funny that everybody started smiling, and all of a sudden somebody held the door open for me. And
it's a chain reaction.
And it was a chain reaction, and that's what happens with the work of compassion. And it's interesting you bring up about the kids, Janice, because there is that variety of things where we're isolating more and more where they go home, and even though they've got the whole social network online, at the same time, by getting inside, first of all, we're not doing meals together like we used to. They're not doing family meals where you sit down at the same time and you have a meal together and you talk about your day. And they're also not getting outside. And, of course, that's been a society thing because there's too much going on, and that means they're not getting the D3, which is one of the happy vitamins, and clearing out the depression, so that in combination with diet and other things. And, of course, when all of that happens, what does it do? It lowers our compassion level on things because we're coming from this irritated space.
So you're not entertaining me right now. You're not doing exactly what I need you to do for me right now. Therefore, could you please step aside and find somebody purposeful and useful, you know, to what
to
I need.
To the kids in Fairfax.
You know what? Interesting about that, actually, there's some places and they're doing study where they're implementing more compassionate measures into, like, the high schools. And they tried this with a football team at one of the high schools where they took the competition out of it. And when they took the competition out of it, they found that they started enjoying the game again. They put the focus on playing for the enjoyment of the game and not for who was going to win and who was the competition. And I think that a lot of this, where we're bred in society to have competition comes up, it creates judgments. And that then pulls us out of compassion.
That person either taking what I have or is getting in the way of what I need to do.
Yeah. Because we're programmed, you've got to win. You've got to achieve a certain thing. Otherwise, you're judged if you don't. You're judged if you do. If you're doing.
Right.
Pretty much judged. Anyway,
so you need to just kind of go at your own pace. And that's, you know, part of compassion as we get into being compassionate with ourselves in that process. And you know, that theme, of course, carries over into my other books, You, Me, Life, Dreams, because in relationships, so many times we get busy being compassionate with other people, and we stop being compassionate with ourselves, or we don't do it with our partner, because we take for granted that our partner is going to be there, and they're not going anywhere, so why do I need to keep this up along the way?
So that's bad, then.
You want me to make that judgment?
That's usually, yeah. I thought you were going to have compassion towards that. No, that's actually something I've been accused of before, believe it or not, as a boyfriend, is being distant. Because I just get into my own thing. You know what I mean? I get into all my projects that I'm doing. And I can be, but at the same time, I'm like, well, I'm not going to kind of just, like, you know, in your business all the time either, so you might feel like that's a blessing, you know, so whatever. I mean,
it depends on what business that you're trying to get into.
Yeah, I guess.
So.
It is an interesting point because, like you said, and I think it's different than how getting, I guess, now into your next book, because this is always an interesting point to me, the difference of how men and women feel having, now we're talking heterosexual couples, we could also take this into same-sex and we're all cool with that too, but what I'm saying is, like a lot of times, yeah, by the time the guy gets the girl, he's like, well, there we go, I've got it, you know. There we are. You know what I mean? But I don't even mean that in like a one-night stand way. I mean that in a relationship.
It's, yeah. No, it's like he doesn't want to chase anymore. And
yeah, well, there we are. So it works. You know? And then the girls are like, now the project begins. You know, it's like a total different like mentality. Let me start drawing out my outlines for this project.
Yeah.
He's already done it. His outlines are all before.
It's really funny that you bring that dynamic up, Daniel, because, it, you know, as you mentioned, it can play over, and my books are specifically written as masculine and feminine energy
right. To
cover the different types of relationships that are out there, because there's always a masculine and feminine component, whether it's two men, two women, or whatever, or heterosexual.
And even in the heterosexual couples, there are sometimes just...
It's that husband, sometimes.
That just gives off a more feminine vibe or reacts in what you might consider, or at least classically, more feminine ways. You know, in more...
He might be masculine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're talking about energy levels of the polarities, you know, male,
right.
Female, yin and yang. And
because
all that.
Sometimes women are very dominant, mm-hmm. and sometimes they are the assertive, aggressive one that functions on that masculine energy aspect, and sometimes the man is the sensitive, emotional one in the relationships, and sometimes a lot of times we're flipping in and out of those roles and different things. Like
now we set in the stone all the time.
Right,
because there's different issues that bring up the different qualities too.
Exactly. And so, you know, it's funny because men are really, and this is a great pointer for everybody to keep in mind, men are, you know, destination focused. Forget the journey. They got to get from point A to point B,
okay.
And they've got a goal to attain. They are achievement focused. And so it's always about what do I got to do and how do I get there and how quick do I get there?
And what car am I driving?
And how good do I look doing it?
Yeah.
And so with women, of course, you know, they sit back and they kind of enjoy the courting process. But as you say, you know, once the relationship is set in motion, it's like, well, now I've got a plan for moving in together, and I've got a plan for marriage, and I've got a plan for babies,
and
probably all the guys just freaked out right there.
Oh, here we go.
But, you know, this is where we learn how each other functions. So, you know, as we do it, if women understand that men are destination-focused or goal-focused, then they understand that they need to have ongoing goals
right. To
work with.
Right, little ones. In
little
ways.
Ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, okay, once a month, Daniel, you got to create a romantic evening for your girlfriend.
Right.
You can pick the day. It could be Friday or Saturday or Wednesday or whatever. You know, it's all your choice how you want to do that and create it, but you got to do it once a month.
Right.
And so you've got some flexibility, but you still got a goal that you got to work to that's ongoing. And that kind of keeps everything fresh. And then, as a result, of course, she's going to know she's being taken care of. She's going to know you're invested in it. And she's not going to push some of the other marriage issues and things
well,
as much
it's also, I think
because
it's,
she knows
I think
you're
it's
there.
Great advice and also sort of deals with, you know, the like you said, the goal-oriented mm-hmm. sort of achievement-oriented.
Achievement. I heard that.
It's a new word.
It's a new word. Okay.
Achievement.
appeasing someone for achieving. No.
Here we go. What's that word? You just bring out the word, Daniel.
But it takes care of that achievement, goal-oriented thing. So I think that's actually very good advice. Because you can set little ones, you know.
Yeah.
Even all of the self-help gurus, they talk about that, you know, whether it's from the old days, you know, Earl Nightingale or Napoleon Hill and Think and Grow Rich, or even Wallace Wattles and all the people that sort of started that aspects of the change your life with positive thought kind of movement, they would all say that just start with stuff that
small
gives
stuff.
You a small, that has structure, that gives you like a structure. And to you, it might feel mathematical, but in this case, but to the other person involved, it feels romantic because you've done something, you know, regularly on a regular basis. Oh, sorry. And it doesn't have to be the big picture all the time. It doesn't have to be the big, you know, the big win and all that kind of thing.
Well, you know, with children, they do that a lot. Because when I started substituting, all that stuff I learned was out the window. I mean, there's no Dick and Jane anymore. And yeah, here we go. Even the 2 + 2 is different. But at the same time, I always thought it was 4, but you know, they're like, oh no, it's more like 8 now. And like,
it's like an objective number.
Yeah, it's a subjective number.
I'm not familiar with the new math, but it is a funny.
Sounds like a fun day for numerology.
But at the same time, as a substitute, you can't really get your hands dirty too much because you know the teacher's going to be back the next day or 2 days from now or whatever. So they always give you little things that the kids can do so they don't kill you.
Right.
always a bonus.
And you don't kill them either. That's the other way around. But to do by 3:30, 4 o'clock. So you're going to get paid for doing those 8 hours, and you're going to do something instead of, you know, have them look at a film strip or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, I recommend that in a lot of my work. And a good way for people to know whether they need to break it down further is if it's creating a lot of stress and tension when they're trying to do something, if they're getting really frustrated, they need to break it down further and break it into a smaller chunk.
Right. And that's always good for almost any job you do in life is to, like, say if we were waxing this floor or retiling it or whatever, you know, you would just don't think of the whole thing all at once. Start in this corner, get your measurement, you know, go, okay, now that corner is done. Now we'll do this piece. Now we'll do, you know, this bit. So then the mosaic or whatever is complete. So, yeah, taking things and making them into small, manageable pieces. And I believe you talked about that a little bit in your compassion book, right?
I did, definitely. I talked about breaking it down into small things, for example, that you could do in 15 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
Because, too, if we break things into these smaller pieces, we're more likely to follow through on them. You know, if I said to the guys, okay, you've got to plan a weekend away every month, they're going to be like, oh, hell no. They're like, first of all, I'm not spending that much money.
Yeah, how much is this going to cost me?
And, you know, it's too big of a chunk to do on a regular basis. But, for example, you know, on a daily basis, you know, maybe you just have that little message or text or note that you leave that just says, hope you have an amazing day. It doesn't require a response. It doesn't need a response. You don't need to go into 30 text messages back and forth.
Right.
It's just a, hey, hope you have a great day. And that's a simple daily thing, for example, that creates a connection.
Yeah.
And then some of the bigger pieces, like I said, you know, once a week or whatever, you create this other thing, or once a month you do this. And knowing those, it keeps the flexibility in, so it's not so rigid like, okay, Daniel, you got to take me to this restaurant every week, and you've got to do this, and the, you know, bathtub better be filled with rose petals, and, you know, and I expect candlelight all over the place ready for me when I walk in the door, and dinner being fixed while I take that bath.
Right.
So,
no, that's a fantasy, then.
You know,
I
actually had a guy that did that for me. Not every night, but nights like if he knew I was stressed, I would come home, he'd have drawn a bubble bath, he'd leave me in there, he'd go fix dinner, and that was one of his good attributes, but it wasn't enough to offset the rest. But
I was going to say, in the work, in a balanced universe, there had to be something horribly wrong with him otherwise.
But, so we don't want to be in that controlling space of everything, but So that's why I say a little bit of flexibility built in to those pieces. And as we learn to work with this, it's just like women need to oftentimes learn to back off and let guys pursue them. Because another thing that happens is once the relationship starts, the guys feel like, I don't have to pursue anymore.
Right, exactly.
And
there's where the problem starts.
And that's a big part of their nature.
Yeah.
So women need
because
to step
up. Because a goal was met, as you said before. A goal was met. Oh, my gosh, I talked her into it. Yeah, whatever. It worked.
And as soon as she has that, then it's like she's all of a sudden sending like 20, 30 texts a day. And the guy's like, good God, I can't even like do anything without this. It's that interruption is hard, whether it's a relationship or whether it's part of your daily schedule. It would be like if you're trying to wire a house for electrical, which you do during the day, right, sometimes, and you're in this house and it's electrical and every 10 minutes somebody came to you and said, hey, Daniel, you know, it's like you get nothing done in that house. That way, and that's the same thing that happens. So it's, I'm always telling women, okay, you got to back off. You got to let him come
because
to
that's
you.
The feeling they get. They get this.
They get this fear, like, oh my God, he's going to leave me. Like they finally got him, which they wanted, and then it's like, oh my God, he's going to leave me. He's going to leave me. He's going. It's like, chill out.
Yeah.
And I almost think that the guy gets the fear of, is there ever going to be another pursuit again if I stay with this person? And they're kind of just now they're contacting me too. You know what I mean? It's almost like this, it's a little too easy now. There's almost, I think, a little leftover thing where maybe men enjoy the hunt a little bit. And if you don't, if you're just putting up, you know, the food out there constantly and the attention out there constantly, then it's...
Even a starved person will stop wanting to eat if they have a feast 24-7.
You're playing into their instincts, too, of... Let them hunt a little bit, you know what I mean?
If you try to take the person out of their natural energy and put them into yours, and that's the problem, is we oftentimes in relationships what I find is that people expect the other people to always be speaking their language instead of trying to learn the other person's language.
Yeah.
And it's got to be a blend in there. You know, each person's got to learn how to understand that language in there. And when we do, it's amazing. If you take away that pursuit, for example, from the masculine energy, what you've done is basically they're lost. Now they have to take on the feminine energy role because you've stepped into the masculine role.
Yeah.
And you're not comfortable there, so it generates all these crazy thoughts going on. And then the guy is like, now I'm in an emotional space, and that's not my realm. And now I'm really freaked out, and I'm thinking, could somebody drop me in, you know, shark-infested waters 300 miles away from land? Because it's feeling a lot easier than this emotional space
now. Like, what's up with all the crazy questions on
it? Like, you weren't asking me all these crazy questions 2 weeks ago before we started dating. What's up?
You have to sort of, have various intervals for those questions. You can't just throw them all.
Well,
they're coming anyway.
And that's a big piece in the book, too, is that there are definitely those different stages, and you can't just jump from, you know, the courtship state to moving in together. It's a freak out if you do. And then you need to talk at those different states and say, okay, now that we're actually dating, what are the expectations? Because there is going to be a shift in expectations between just going out to dinner and actually being in a monogamous relationship.
Right. And
it doesn't mean you have to figure out when you're getting married. It just means you got to figure out the parameters of what you need in the relationship and what's going to be too suffocating and what's going to be comfortable.
Well, that brings up a good thing because I personally like to have a weekend where it's just me, or
your own space,
or it's me and the girls.
That's very Aquarius too.
I'm Aquarius.
Yeah.
You know,
we kind of like our own space to
Scorpio
too.
That
crazy stuff in our head around for a while by ourselves.
Because I'm away this weekend. Well, I'm going to be at Changing Times, Changing Worlds. And I know when I first started
dating David, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to this place, and I'll be back in 3 days. And everybody was like, cringe, just like, he's not going to be there when you get back. And it's like, and like, you know. But he was there, and now it's like, well, you know, when I'm gone for 4 days, he has the house to himself.
Right.
You know, he can wake up when he wants to.
He
can go to sleep when he wants to.
Right.
You know, he can have pizza all weekend. And, you know, all that type of stuff. I mean, it's a win-win. I'm out of the house, and you have the house.
Right.
So, but you know, some people don't really understand that because they're like, "Well, you must be having an affair, or this and that, the other." And
no, I don't think so at all.
But it's like,
I've seen couples that they just sit there and play video games together and do nothing else, and it's like, well, they seem to be getting along, but it's like they're constantly just doing nothing. I mean, hey, if that's their life and that's the life they want, then great for them,
yeah.
But just like, what is their relationship? It's like, now some people, I think, also have a way, again, we're talking about individual human beings here too, not just the, I guess, stereotypical masculine, feminine. Some couples can be around each other a lot and can very quickly gain their own space and sort of bounce right back, and it looks healthy. I witnessed people like that as well, too. It's just up to the individual. You know, my parents were the type to do everything together. I'm not going to talk about them too much. But they were. I mean, they just how they were. They were always together, you know.
Yeah.
And different people are different. I've known couples that spend a lot of time apart, and they still seem very, you know, happy, and their relationship is very healthy, and they're glad to see each other. And when they're gone, like Janice said, they might have funny jobs, they might have traveling jobs, and they might spend, you know, 3 months apart. They come back, bam, they're fine. They have a good time for a while, and then they go back to their thing. And each person is different, and trying to find those different levels of energy in the individual, which I think is a lot what You, Me, Like Dreams is about, is very important. So it's good to have those talks, like you said,
yeah.
To have those talks of, okay, what are our expectations now, so that if I got to go somewhere for a week, it's not travesty when I come home.
Right.
You know?
Or if I don't contact you for 30 minutes or 2 hours, this is what it means. It doesn't mean I'm having an affair right then.
Right.
So, yeah, absolutely, and these are the different pieces that are so important along the way, because they, you know, I believe very strongly that we need to take our own time. We need to take time every week to do our own activities, particularly the feminine energy, so that they're keeping their own identity, because a lot of the freakouts happen because they're not maintaining their own identity in the relationship,
mm-hmm.
And then every week there needs to be activities done together as well. And that way you're keeping that unity factor going on. And it's true. When we take that time to understand how each person functions,
right.
Then we can also understand how to work with them better. It makes it easier. It reduces the complications. It reduces the conflict and the contradictions and the arguments and all of those things that come up when we don't take the time to talk about it. And you're right, I've had people in my relationships that some have been very suffocating to me, which is usually the case. As a Scorpio, I need lots of space
right.
in there. And as much as I can love being with a partner, you know, sometimes I've done very well with my partner 2,000 miles away from me. And that worked very fine for me while I was building various things up in my life. You know, I think about that on the road now, like what would work for me, and I don't have a clear-cut answer at this point. It would take a very unique person to, you know, be able to deal with somebody who's on the road 10 months out of the year,
right.
Traveling to
very
every state.
Unique person, yeah.
And, you know, so but, you know, all things are possible. Who knows what's out there? And for me, I'm very happy on my own, so I'm not a have to have somebody in my life type of things, but
right.
Understanding these patterns can really allow us to have that fulfilling relationship that we oftentimes seek
right.
with people. And knowing that, yeah, I need my space. I need my regular time alone. And this is very healthy for the relationship.
And some people do require more than others. I mean, some people really need their time to decompress
mm-hmm.
by themselves and to work on things by themselves. Now, we did have a caller.
Oh, great.
Sure.
Okay. I love callers.
95% of the time.
Well, yeah, here we go. Private joke.
Even if it involves parachuting lizards.
All right, 928, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, how can we help you tonight?
Welcome to Main Street University.
Yes, welcome.
What sort of question am I allowed to ask?
Any type, anything you want.
Like a psychic question, or?
Sure. What would you like to know?
I'm wondering about time frames.
Time frames, okay. Time frames for what?
Right now, me and my current partner aren't speaking, and I'm wondering what you see as to when we will be able to kind of discuss certain things and reconnect.
Great. So, you know, this is actually something that's happening in a lot of relationships right now, so it's great that you brought this up. Part of what happens is we do have these different planetary alignments that come along, and if we're not staying on top of some of these things, then we actually will feel very challenged by them because we're caught off guard by them. But we're in a period right now where we are seeing a lot of relationships that are maybe not communicating well right now. They've had some unexpected challenges or arguments, and actually a lot of them with very hurtful things being said recently that the partners haven't necessarily meant, but they've come out in the heat of a reaction, usually due to stress factors that are going on. Now, this is actually going to be settling down in about another week. We're going to start to see it quieting down. By the end of this month, we're really going to see things turn around. So a lot of those people that have separated or haven't been talking, say, for the last month and a half, 2 months, 3 months time period, they're going to most likely see people coming back into their life and apologizing. And we're going to see actually some pretty happy holidays, I would say, for relationships between Thanksgiving and New Year's, and maybe even about a week after New Year's. And then it's probably going to get a little bumpy again for about 2 months in there, from about mid-January to mid-March. And then around the time the spring equinox comes around, we're going to see things open up again.
Wow. Okay, so like another week?
About another week is when it's going to stop being really super intense, and then the real bigger changes we're going to start seeing around Thanksgiving, so around the end of the month.
Okay. Well, I've had plans with him for him to come out to spend Thanksgiving with me, so I'm wondering if that's still going to happen, or is it?
I would say that that is still going to happen for you. And I think that actually what it will be is he may come out under the pretense of the aspect of, well, let's come out and see how we do together at that time. And it will be very open and no promises, no guarantees. But once he's actually there and he's in your presence, and things are starting to go, I would say he's actually going to be opening up and starting to get a lot closer to you.
Oh, we've already spent time together. This is going to be the second time he's coming out, and he's going to spend Thanksgiving with my family. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to really draw closer. He's really going to be more open emotionally at that time. So, yeah, it's going to be a good weekend or a good time while he's there.
Okay, and you said another week and we'll be able to communicate? Or?
Yeah, we got to kind of get through this week. The communications are really challenging this week. We're still coming off of some of the Mercury retrograde things. Mm-hmm. We're coming off of the 6th of the 7th Pluto-Uranus squares, which is really throwing a lot of turbulence and unexpected reactions into things. We have some intense influences with Mars and Scorpio and a lot of karmic influences that are being cleared out right now. But we are going to start seeing some settling down, and part of what's really going to bring some pleasure into relationships is going to be Venus is getting ready to enter Scorpio. So that's going to bring some intense pleasure, actually, on many levels into our relationships.
Okay, so just give it another week, and we'll see what happens.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right, thank you for calling Main Street Universe. And we're going to take a short break here. If you can all hear me, I'm way over here. Short break. We're talking to Jesse Ann Nichols-George. She's one of the hosts on the Main Street Universe radio network. She's an author as well as an intuitive consultant, integrative development specialist. And we see you're on the phone there, 504. We're going to get to you when we return. And this song here will be, again, from our friends Logan Green, but first our little station plug from our good friend, Mr. Nathan Anderson.
Forbidden Archaeology. Forgotten History, Divination, Magic, Cryptozoology, UFOs, Nature, Science, and Spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Here on
are back.
Welcome, everyone. We're back with our guests, Jesse Ann Nichols-George on Main Street Universe. Say hello.
Hello.
And, of course, associate producer Janice R. White.
Hello.
And I'll do a very brief show plugs and a few show announcements, then we have a caller. And by the time we got done chit-chatting about that and promoting a few more things, we'll probably be rolling out of here. But I want to remind everyone that right now Main Street Universe is a network of, oh gosh, I think it's like 8 shows now. I have to remember who's everybody involved. So we have, starting here, the flagship show, the one that started it all, Main Street Universe, myself and Mr. Kevin Baird, who is our lone wolf in the chat room at the moment. A few people have come in and out, but
hi,
that's
Kevin.
Okay.
Hi, Kevin.
But also remember that Main Street Universe and all the shows here can be listened to in the magical time machine that is the Archive Listen, which means that next week you can listen to last week, this week, right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network, if that makes any sense. And then on Thursdays we have, well, Queen Mother Imaku is going to be returning. Don't know exactly when, but she's going to be one of the folks returning on Thursday as part of our once-a-month rotating Thursday night host, as well as Ashley and Jim Cash from Woven Green. I don't have a show name from them yet, but they're actually starting it next week, as well as the return of Mary Phelan. And Mary's will be on Saturday, so we'll get that in a second. And the owner of a local New Age shop here, I won't say her name yet, but her and another gentleman will be doing a show. There's a bunch of once-a-month shows, including perhaps the return of the amazing Brett Hillman, but this time as a... He left as a pursuing as being a pagan priest, and now he's, well, he's a Christian deacon, so that might provide sort of an interfaith balance to Main Street Universe, that we'll have a Christian host on our network. Not that we haven't before on some limited, but let's not get into that now. Anyway, then on Fridays we have Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, but it isn't always in the Midnight Hour, right? So now we're...
Now Activating Compassion Radio.
Now it's okay, well, good. That makes sense. And with Jesse Ann Nichols-George, author of 4 books, as well as being our guest, and she does workshops. She's on tour right now, integrating development specialists and all of that. And her show is on usually... You're thinking about 8 o'clock on Fridays, 7, 8,
it's
when it happens?
Fridays sometime.
It's Friday, sometime on Fridays.
I heard 5:30.
When you're doing a show on the, you know, from...
Tomorrow night, or this week, it's going to be at 8:30 p.m.
Okay. So keep posted, and if you follow Main Street Universe, you'll get the little, hey, the show's about to go on the air. Because when someone's doing a show on the road, on tour, all that sort of stuff, it's difficult to keep that, especially midnight regular schedule going. That must have been very difficult. So, check out Jessie, and also her website is attached to this very show page. And then, of course, on Saturdays will be some of the rotating shows we discussed, including will be Janice R. White, our associate producer, with her show. You had the you had a name for it, right?
Rhythms and Reflections.
Rhythms and Reflections, which is a good name. I like that name.
Yeah.
And so that'll be a once-a-month rotating show. Mary Phelan, I think, is doing a Saturday one as well. And I think Jim and Ashley are doing a Thursday one. So that's who we have so far that are kind of a lock, that are a guarantee. And the other ones have agreed. We're waiting for them to, you know, get their schedule together. Then Sundays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Spiritual Insight with Darren Bouquet, extraordinaire, calling all the way from the magical city of...
New Orleans, Louisiana, NOLA.
Absolutely. One of the cities with a great, magical, mystical history. And its combined jambalaya, if you will, of spiritual components in that gumbo down there. And I've been on the Gulf Coast before, as they call it, the Gulf down there.
Beautiful, wonderful city.
And
there
I...
There 8 times.
I lived in Pensacola, which had some sort of, you know, some bleed over New Orleans culture, and it's not too much. That's its own place, too, with its own thing. But there's
a lot of food in Pensacola.
Yeah, there's some of that sort of Christian conjure, you know, thing. Definitely a little Christian folk magic. So, anyway. So Darren Bouquet, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, then 10 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Mr. Randy Goldberg with Science of Light. discussing Jungian archetypes as well as all sorts of metaphysical combinations that he gets into. And it's a lot. He's vast. He's a Vedic astrologer. He's also into very much Western astrology. He's very much into the Jungian thing. So it's a definitely an eclectic show. Check it out, 10 p.m. And then 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesdays, completing the wheel for now anyway, until the new folks come along, is Green Magic, Green Medicine with your hostess, Miss Susan Weed. And Susan is a master herbalist. Herbal's medicine is people's medicine. And it's a whole lot of information packed into a half hour. It's a short show, and there's a lot of information that comes out of that. And last night we did it. We covered all kinds of interesting things. I won't go into the details. she's been talking about infusions for a long time and different things, as well as the metaphysical side of some of these things occasionally, which she got into a little bit last night, about when you empower something or when you sometimes just have a conversation with a plant and all these sorts of things. So she was getting into a bit of that last night. Anyway, so that's Green Magic, Green Medicine. Her show is linked to her website, and that makes, for now, most of the shows on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
World Reggae Party, too.
And World Reggae Party has also been occasionally played here.
Yes.
As I think tonight, we've had the honor to have Ms. Jessie and Nicholas George join us, so we're going to return to that format here. And we had a caller earlier ask about a relationship question. And Jessie has written a book called You, Me, Life Dreams. And I see we have another caller. First, I'll hand the mic over to Jessie, who's on tour right now. And where can people find you?
Everywhere.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
On the map.
Come and see me anywhere and everywhere. Right now, I am here in Cafe Fairfax. And yay. So excited to be back here after 2 years. And so I will be in the Washington, D.C., Maryland area, working out of this region this weekend. And even though technically registration's been, you know, closed down on it, if somebody's really interested, contact me. My email, Jessie, J-E-S-S-E, at JessieAnnNicholsGeorge, the number 1.com. And let me know that you're interested, and you know, and I can work out something maybe there, because I do have a couple of spots left on that. And then after I leave here, I'm headed towards Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh. Yeah, my brother lives in Doraville.
And I've got some little things on the outskirts of Atlanta, Georgia, for the people that are in that region. Then I head to San Antonio, Texas. Little debate whether we might be throwing some venues in around San Diego and Palm Springs region at the very end of the year in December.
Very nice.
Weather's always good in San Diego. It is.
December, yes.
Always
good. Like 72
always.
And then I'm going to finish out this year with a full weekend event in southern Utah at Zion National Park. So that's going to be a really awesome experience, and we could get into some really cool stuff there depending on who's on that event. And then I may just take a couple of months to regroup and try to set everything up for 2015. But the plan right now in 2015 is I actually have some people checking into stuff for me. It may take me into Canada in 2015, so watch for that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
Looking at maybe Vancouver and, you know, a couple of different regions there. But I'll be up there in summertime if I go up there. And then I'll also be back on the West Coast starting in spring, in March. So that'll take me back into the Los Angeles and Santa Barbara and Central Coast and San Francisco and on up the coastline and across the U.S. And so it's just a matter of following me, because I'm just literally all over. And even if you're not attending an event and I'm at a place like in San Antonio, the center there that I'm going to be at, and you can see it on my website, all my workshops and events are listed there. Just even stop in and say hi. Like,
right.
I love to have people stop in and go, I know you from here. And
right.
you know, just want to come and say hi.
If they check out your website, will they see the dates of some of your events?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, all the dates are on there and where I'm at,
okay. At
what times and what events they are. We have some great events going on, places where sometimes I'm doing satsang events, which is an Eastern practice. People just show up with whatever's going on, and we really delve into looking at it from different perspectives. It's an open discussion. And then I do also have healing events that I've been doing on tour, and then taking private session work. For example, in San Antonio, I'll be doing private session work, and that includes, like, healing work in addition to the coaching work. So I do coaching during part of the session. Then we move into the healing work. I get people their personal angels. We do cord cutting. We clear from past, present, future life, wherever the genesis point is on it.
Right.
And I actually go into also Akashic records, DNA cleansing, and the whole gamut with that. It's very cool.
Okay. One of my favorite readings I ever had was someone that was an Akashic reader locally here. Anyway, we do have a caller. We'll go ahead and take them.
Great.
And we're at about, we got about 11 minutes left. And I see 504. Welcome, 504 Main Street Universe.
Hello. Hi, Jessie Ann.
Hi.
This is Debbie. You helped me like a couple of years ago. I had some coaching sessions from you. Yeah, I haven't heard you on in a while, or I haven't caught you, and I just wanted to call in. I thought it was interesting what you were telling the lady before me, and kind of that was my question, too. The energy about, you know, pulling back a little and just feeling a little odd. So I thought I'd call in anyway and say hello because you helped me a lot.
I'm glad to hear that it made a big difference for you. I always love to hear back from people. And it's wonderful. And it is. We forget that sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own things, Debbie. We forget that sometimes we are on these bigger astrological patterns that are going on in the universe. And not only that, but we have our own personal years, and our own personal year could dictate whether we choose to end a relationship or see our way through it, or different things like that. And of course, since we spoke 2 years ago, I've got a book out.
I know, I saw that. Are you coming? It was funny. Are you coming towards New Orleans?
You know, I'm going to pass through New Orleans area. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to try to connect with Darren while I'm out there. That could be a crazy night.
Yeah. You think we're drinking now?
Here we go, boy.
But, you know,
Daniel, we have to get a ticket for that one. So.
It's great that you asked, because I actually encourage people when I'm touring, you know, if they're in an area and they want to connect with me, just call and see, or, you know, email me and see if I'm going through their area, because I'm usually happy to set up a private session with somebody, you know, if my time permits at all.
Okay. Well, it was funny because I had a naturopath that actually passed away this year, and she was kind of, you know, my person I would talk to mostly about health and stuff, but she used to tell me I was cosmically sensitive. I had no idea what she was talking about at the time, but now I do, because all these little things in the sky really seem to affect me, and they feel odd right now. I don't know how to describe it other than that, but that it's like an overhaul of some sort, you know?
Well, what's interesting with that, Debbie, is that this has been a really big year for people's spiritual gifts to open up, and particularly psychic and intuitive gifts, and finding out what they're aligned to. So for you, there's that synchronicity with what's going on with the planets, which really are a very powerful aspect in our life. You know, then there's like anything, there's a learning curve to it. You know, when we first get on a bicycle, even if we've been riding a tricycle and then we go to a bicycle, you know, it takes a little practice and a little time to learn how to handle those two wheels instead of having the three wheels. And it's kind of the same thing when we come into our gifts. It just takes a little time for us to really synchronize into the harmony of it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And the timelines have changed. Like when you say, oh, this always happens in August or October, they are thrown out the window and restarted, like when you figure them out, you know?
They're always shifting, and it's just, you know, it's just like each person's unique. Every day is a little bit unique. Every year is a little bit different because the influences are different. I mean, it's, yes, we do have certain planets that are normally retrograde during certain times of the year, for example. But at the same time, depending on what sign those planets are in, it's going to affect us differently each and every year. And depending on different things that are happening, like when we get a series of the Pluto-Uranus squares like we do now, we haven't had that since 1933. You know, we're just a little shy of a century of having an influence like that. And what happened back, you know, in the early 1930s wasn't even as intense as what we're going through now. And at that time, the last time we experienced this, we were dealing with things like Hitler's rule, the Great Depression. So that just kind of gives people a framework for really the intensity of the influences that we're dealing with.
That energy is there, though, that somebody, you know, the controlling energy, you know, like controlling the water, the sky. It's back, mm-hmm. but it's not in a person. It's in, I don't know how to describe it, an energy rather than a human. Do you find that?
Well, because the planetary alignments and things like that that are going on, as well as the numerological personal years of different countries, for example, and what's happening with them, it all influences. And right now we're in a period where we have some very strong fire and water influences where it's connected to the earth. And that's why we're seeing a lot of volcanoes surface that have been under the water for a long time. Wow. We're seeing a lot of volcanic activity. We're seeing this combination of extreme heat or extreme rain and floods going
on.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I took Tai Chi, and I'm very sensitive to energy. And we did an energy exercise, and everybody was fine. I had to sit down on the ground because I thought I was going to throw up. And the teacher said I had too much fire energy. I think I absorbed it. That is so bizarre you say that. I'm like, what is fire energy?
To the ground with
I had no idea. Say it again?
I was saying it was good you went to the ground, though, because it sounded like you needed to ground, as in the practice of grounding your energy. You can put your hands on the earth and visualize, you know, beams of light or fire coming out of your hands, out of your palm chakras, and going into the earth. Some say going all the way down to the center and letting it just become, because Mother Earth knows best, let her do something with it. You're not going to hurt her with it, so don't worry about it, because it comes from her anyway.
Okay.
So let her go make a tree out of it.
It was
that's
shocking.
How I visualize it. I picture it making, like, plants and stuff like that after, you know, it's gone through me and become nonsense, and I throw it into the earth. And
okay.
I do.
Yeah.
You look that up, look up the metaphysical practice of grounding, look up grounding meditations, grounding stones. Hematite's a good one, right?
Right.
Some people like kyanite, more of a chakra balance, but some people say it has a grounding effect. What's that?
Jet.
Jet?
Yeah.
I'm writing these down.
Yes. Yeah, and
the stone, not the magazine.
Yeah, not the magazine. That might not be very grounding at all.
Yeah, I know what he meant. I had a hematite, and it broke off the necklace, so I have to get a new one. It literally even broke the little round thing that it was holding on to.
Oh,
so,
yeah. For a new one.
It grounded a lot.
So another dimension really quick, Debbie, and I think there's somebody else that we have to move on to here, too.
Okay.
Is when you get those kind of energetic things of too much fire coming up and you're getting the nauseous in your system and stuff, that's actually the body responding to emotional mental detoxing that's going on and spiritual detoxing that's going on, as well as an overwhelming of energy for the body at that point in time. So when we have that abundance of fire, it's like, you know, it's similar to things that sometimes happen in Reiki or other energy practices where the heat is the pain releasing. It's the pain coming up to the surface to be healed. And then okay. that's usually followed with a cooling once the healing's actually occurred in it.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
So we don't necessarily want to just shut that heat down. We want to just let it roll on out. And like Daniel said, sometimes, you know, putting the palms and things down to the ground can really give the energy a place to go.
Okay. I cried, so I think that would probably help it, right? That just tears came, too.
That's part of the relief. So you probably were doing emotional detoxing.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Wow, thank you so much. I'm going to look for you. I'd like to meet you if you could come to a book signing.
Yeah, I would love to. And, you know, shoot me an email if you have me, you know, if you have a place you want me to stop, I might have time to throw that stop in on the tour.
Okay, I'll do that.
I work for dinner.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right.
You're welcome.
Thank you, and thank
Bye,
you very
guys.
Much.
Bye. Okay.
And have a great evening. All right. Very great call. Very great call. And we're still on the air. We still have a minute and a half, and plus in the archives, it'll survive anyway. So, and I think I know who this is. Welcome, 698. I'm sorry, 618.
618.
Is that Kevin?
Hello, it's Kevin. Calling just to
Kevin.
Say hello and
Hi,
welcome
Kevin.
To DC.
Hi, Kevin.
We're having great weather here, but I hear you guys not so much, right?
No, we're fine.
Oh, no. We have good weather.
Oh, good.
Oh, what, 70 degrees?
It must be further north then, but yeah.
60,
I hope
60.
To be back
a little
in
bit
DC
of rain
soon,
out there,
too,
but
maybe in
a little
year
bit of
or
rain.
So. Year or less, so.
I wanted
and if you're
to
in Illinois.
Well, I was going through Illinois, but I was about 4.5 hours north of you.
Wow.
Which was a little too far.
Are you going to head back this way at all?
No, I'm going southern route, headed back, but I will be back out in Illinois in 2015.
Okay.
The place I was doing there was. And they definitely want me back and for an extended time from this year. So.
Oh, great.
So we'll connect.
Okay, sounds good. But great show. I've been listening. It's been a good one.
Yeah, it's been a good show.
And we are going over our time. However, it will still survive in the archive. That's one thing I've learned, or at least unless it's changed. So if people listen to the archive, if it goes over the time, as long as it's not over 2 hours, which is the limit, mm-hmm. it'll... At least in the past, it would still play it. So we can still talk for a minute, and maybe
okay, sure.
you can talk a little bit about what you've been working on, Kevin.
Jesse, do you know about my latest Pathfinder project?
That's the one with the machine?
Yeah, where I'm creating like a android that will
yeah.
enable spirits to... exercise their energy to activate specific energy levels that I programmed into the listening device of it, and then I'm going to program voice responses to the specific levels. So it's a learning period, but that's what I've been working on.
I can
it's like the next
that.
Evolution
it's
of the K2, if you know what that is.
So it's like, you know, the old K2s they use on the ghost hunts?
Yeah.
This one is scheduled with a whole bunch of vocal responses. And so what Kevin's operating theory and practice is, as he's working with it, is that if you set it somewhere long enough, the spirits, the entities in the place will learn how to activate which response they want, if you know what I mean, rather than it just being like a bleep light. Or, but I guess part of the trick of it is leaving it there for a while so that they will learn it. So
exactly.
Will
so it's just like a kid learning their first words, mama, dada, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you start associating different feelings and energies with internal to you, like what makes you happy, you respond with happy responses. What makes you sad makes you respond with sad responses. What makes you inquisitive makes you respond with inquisitive responses based on memories and experiences that you've had in the past.
It's a very interesting project that you're working on.
Yeah, and it's ongoing. I keep running into little barriers, but it's so enlightening. And the experience that I've been having, like I have it just playing like a four-note melody, and that they vary. The different notes are different depending on the environmental and situation of the day condition, and that it will respond. Like when the cat wants to come into the house, it will start beeping like crazy, and then I'll go and check both front door and back door, and the cat is there, and I'll let the cat in. So there's a potential that it could also help with security and perimeter security as well.
That could be really useful for people.
I think so. It'd just be having like a spirit guide, but you're actually able to communicate with them.
Yeah.
And not have to be a psychic medium experienced.
Sort of, but being the experience of it.
The thing is that you have to have a soul core confidence, right, that it doesn't intrude upon your dogma. A lot of people who have been trained that anything that's not tangible is demonic will have serious problems with this.
Yeah, I can see where that's coming from. Sure.
All right.
It
sounds interesting. And let us know the progress of it. And right now you're currently calling it, or thinking of calling it Pathfinder, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And that there's, and then calling the spirits Ambien, right, for Ambien personas or something like that. Ambient persons, Ambiens.
That's interesting.
So I've been thinking about blogging about it, but I'm just so busy with trying to get the thing up and online that I don't have time to stop for that.
And for those who will end up listening in the archive, Kevin can be found at www.templeofgaia.com. He's also the creator of an oracle deck called the Horizon Oracle. And now he's working on this new project, Pathfinder, which is a device to talk to spirits. As you see some of the ghosts,
talk back.
Those K2 magnetic in the other ones, the electromagnetic. Because yeah, I've even heard things about when there's ghosts in the area, more ghost sightings in an area during electrical storms and, you know, things like that, and people call in. And so there's all sorts of theories about spirits, ghosts, and electromagnetic energy. In fact, I did, on the show I did one time, I had one of my electrical testers that makes a sound if you put it on one finger and then the other, thumb and finger, and then the other end of the tester on the other, basically showing that the human body has a spirit or continuity. It has an energy flowing through it. As an electrician, we're all aware of this because there's a certain grounding that's needed so that we're not all always electrocuted. But I'm not going into all of that right now. But that is scientifically true. So basically, every human is sort of a multi, what's the word I'm looking for, like a kilovolt battery. They do give off a certain amount of millivolts and milliamps and all this sort of thing. So there is a proven energy that you can use with a common tester to prove that it goes through the human body, as well as a continuity if you touch one end to the next. But anyway, Kevin, thanks for calling in.
Yep. Good luck, everybody. Break a leg, all that.
All right. And have a good night.
Good night, Kevin.
Good night. Take care.
Hey,
sweet dreams.
All right.
Good night, Kevin.
Bye. Bye, Janice.
Bye.
Bye, Jesse.
Bye.
All right. And Kevin is one of our hosts. He'll be returning for one of the once-a-month shows as well, or more. We'll see when the schedule comes up. Anyway, everybody, you've been listening to Main Street Universe with our guest, Ms. Jesse Ann Nichols George. Her website is linked to the page. We went over our time, but it'll still be in the archive. So thank you for joining us, Jesse.
Thank you so much for having me back at Cafe Fairfax.
And one more time, where can they find you?
On my website, JesseAnnNicholsGeorge, the1.com.
Yes.
And, of course, on the map somewhere of the United States of America.
Everywhere in the U.S.
Yeah,
Canada.
Somewhere in the
Canada.
Going
to Canada. She's on tour right now, folks.
Main
All
Street
right.
Universe.
And on Main Street Universe every Friday.
Can I do a little quick plug?
Yeah, please.
Okay. If you're in Connecticut and you have nothing to do this weekend, I will be at TCCW, Changing Times, Changing Worlds. I will have two classes, and I'm on several panels. One class is for Shango, and for all you Shango lovers out there. So it's at the Crown Plaza Hotel from Thursday to Sunday.
All right.
This
Yay.
Weekend.
And Jesse, you're doing an event as well right here in D.C., Northern Virginia area.
D.C., Northern Virginia area this weekend, and Atlanta, Georgia region next weekend, and San Antonio, Texas. I'll be there the Thanksgiving week, so I'll be doing workshops and sessions the 3 days prior to Thanksgiving, and the Saturday after Thanksgiving, I've got a full day event there.
Okay. All right. Well, good to see you in person.
See either me
That's
or
right.
her.
That's
yeah.
right. Either one of those two. And as we usually talk to Jesse on the phone, as she usually lived way out west, but now she's on tour, so it's good to see her stop by and visit us in person.
Yes.
And I want to thank everybody out there for listening to Main Street Universe, the show and network reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined.
And I can imagine a lot.
So have a good evening, everyone.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.